Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. This is quarter number one of our show. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Today in Tucker's Tape, we're going to get back to our positional review, and we're going to talk linebacker, so you want to stick around for that. But first, Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Jim. How are you? Good to be with you today. Let's do this. Let's talk some Penn State football.
Let's do it. I'll tell you what, Andrew. The spring practice has finished up. I didn't realize last year how much we missed without having a spring practice. This was a very newsworthy spring. And I want to start at cornerback, where it seemed like so much was happening there. It started with, all of a sudden, we're hearing freshman Kalen King, an early entry this year, is really turning heads back there. And then the dominoes started to fall. Since that time, we've had a transfer, we've had a position change to offense, and another position change to safety. A lot of excitement in the cornerback room.
So, I think, yes. So, let's start with corners, and I like to group defensive backs together, but we're going to talk about corners. And this is the way I think it shakes down coming out of the spring, right? So your hammers are Tariq Castro-Fields, and very wise decision by that young man to come back for another year when he's healthy, right? And he's been battling injuries on and off for the better part of, what, two full seasons, right? And last year I know was a limited year, but for two seasons. But when healthy, I think we both agree he's got NFL chops, right? Joey Porter Jr., I think he was a shining star on this team in 2020. I think you can expect more from him. So those are your hammers, right? Those are your cornerback room hammers. So you have Kalen King. He's the April Penn State flavor of the month, right? He's the shiny new toy, the true freshman who enrolled early, and he's caught a lot of coaches, and now the fans are buzzing about him. He's the April flavor of the month. But it's for a reason, right? So if you think about it, even before spring, you heard Marquise Wilson was making a move to safety. Well, now you know that Keaton Ellis has now made a position change to safety. That's part of the reason. So as I continue in the quarterback room, so you throw in some names, Johnny Dixon, Daquan Hardy. Those are names that are part of the mix. But I want you to remember this. You have two corners. We just mentioned them. Marquise and Keaton, who moved to safety. Well, they still know what to do on Corner Island if called back to duty, right? So I think it's one of the single most clearly defined and strong position rooms at Penn State for the 2021 season. I don't think you have to question it in any way, shape, or form. You got any questions for me, Jim?
Well, first of all, let's clarify. Marquise Wilson is actually being listed as an athlete and getting reps on the offensive side of the ball at wide receiver.
Is he really?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's my bad. Okay.
So he's being listed as an athlete. So your point is still valid that he's capable of still playing cornerback. They didn't change his position title to wide receiver. They changed it to athlete. And, you know, Keaton Ellis, it doesn't have to be a full-time switch. I'm not sure if it is. But I think all along, when I say all along, probably for the last year, we've been talking about the shortage in the safety room, the excess of cornerbacks, and we've all been projecting somebody is probably going to make the move from cornerback to safety. And Keaton Ellis, is he the logical choice, Andrew?
He's the best choice. He played safety in high school. He was a dynamic high school safety. One of the strongest, 10 most strongest memories in covering high school football for a quarter century for me was watching one of the better Harrisburg teams I had seen and one of the better state college teams, which feature Keaton Ellis and Micah Parsons going against each other. And Keaton Ellis playing safety was able, from that position, was able to impact an offense that nobody else could slow down, let alone stop. He was able to impact the game from one position, one person, at a level I had rarely seen. That's why I knew that he was going to be an FBS player, whether it was a corner or safety for Penn State. But it makes the most sense because he has the ball skills, the chops, and the cover skills to play that safety position, possibly next to Jaquan Brisker.
All right, I'm going to be jumping all over the place here just as things enter my head, that is the stories. And going into the spring and probably even coming out of the spring, the biggest impact may be new offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich. When he came in, it was a bit of a surprise. They turned the page on Kirk Sriracha very quickly. We ended up with Mike Yurcich. We know that James Franklin had his eye towards Yurcich for a couple of years now. And a year ago, they didn't have a spring practice to implement a new offense. This time around, they did. Andrew, how important is that, having the spring this year? And how much effect has Mike Yurcich already had with the new offense?
So, impact on the new offense, your second question. Impact on the new offense is hard for me to quantify and measure in a spring practice because I think spring practice is your grind and work time, right? And your install time, and that is a grind. So I think that's hard to measure. But you mentioned, like, okay, he had a spring practice, and you know that has to be helpful. It's immensely helpful because in 2020 we saw what Penn State's offense looked like without a spring practice, right? I mean, new coordinator, same scenario. Kirk Sciacca takes over, no spring, and kind of look what it looked like. I'm curious to see. I think he has some huge advantages in his favor. First of all, he's got a deep running back room. He's got proven wideouts, and he has a veteran quarterback. That's a pretty good recipe. If you want to drop those in a pot and say, okay, new OC, here's what I'm going to give you to start with. You know, go be you and do what you're going to do with an offense. I'm not sure it gets to look a whole lot better than that, right? Experienced offensive line. He has so much ingredients to cook with that sort of how he wants to shape this in year one, it feels like to me like it's his oyster. Correct me if I'm wrong, but with what he's cooking with, I'm like, dude, you've got all kinds of ingredients and plug and replace here, try this here. You've got a variety of running backs. You've got power running backs. You've got running backs and going speed. You've got two tight ends. You've got, you know, a clear number one wide receiver and two young up-and-coming receivers. You have a lot to work with, and I think that all helps him accelerate this offense even further in the spring practice as they get ready for fall camp.
Now, the thing is, when he's putting together that stew, Andy, the main ingredient is always going to be the quarterback.
The quarterback.
And can Sean Clifford be the star of this stew that he's making?
Well, I'm not convinced enough anymore to say that Sean Clifford can be the star. I am not sure he can be, but if this offense is going to flourish, it appears he's going to probably have to be, right, Jim? I mean, look at the quarterback room. Sean Clifford's got two seasons as a starting quarterback. The clock is ticking. The new offensive coordinator's going to hand you, you know, his keys. I would say if we can get some version of the 2019 Sean Clifford, that a little bit of that Sean Clifford without the drops by the wide receivers, I think that would serve Penn State really well. And I don't think being that quarterback is actually backstepping either. You know, you'd say, well, you want to get better, but he took so many steps backwards this year to go where you came from 2 years ago. doesn't look so bad, does it?
No, it doesn't. And let's talk for a minute or so, Andy, about the features of a Mike Yurcich offense. The highlights have been there's the hurry up, there's a quarterback under center, and I think we shouldn't forget James Franklin wants splash plays. He wants to put the ball down the field. He wants to pass the ball down the field. What does all that mean for this team?
So for me, his offense is about pace, right? It's about pressure. He likes to use pace to put pressure, right? He likes to make a defense be a little more reactive instead of a little more proactive. Like you would see when Joe Moorhead was coordinating, you thought Penn State was going with pace, but they were just pacing and checking. I think this is going to be a lot of initially pure pace. He wants to do pace for pressure. And it's also, I drop a third P in there. I think James wants his pot shots. He wants them to take cracks down. He wants them to do a little no risk it, no biscuit, to go with the Bruce Arians philosophy. I think he feels like they have some weapons to do that, and he wants that brought in. And I think what this offense is built to do is to put a lot of pressure on. I don't think you're going to see two backs. I'm very curious to see about under center. Is it just situational, or is it something that they use to mix and match? Because a mix and match is going to put more pressure on. I like this offense. I think he's got a lot of tools to work with, as I've said, but I'm also really curious as can they run it effectively using pace and pressure as the main ingredient.
Understand, too, with this hurry-up offense, what it means and what pressure it puts on the defense. One of the important aspects to it is if you, say, get the opposing team in their nickel defense, it's third and long, you convert a first down. If you don't substitute on offense, they can't substitute on defense. All of a sudden, you're in a first and 10, and you've got the defense stuck in a nickel defense.
Yeah, when I mean pace, and I in those situations, I think the play clock becomes, I don't know the number, but my guess is 15 to 18 seconds. You know, ball set to ball snap, bang, bang, maybe even quicker, might be 12 to 15. But it is all about getting it off inside of that 15-second window or right around there.
And putting the defense into an awkward situation. That is it for
Absolutely. Quarter
number one. We're going to pick up this conversation in quarter number four when Andy comes back. But next quarter, we're talking Ross and we're talking Tucker's tape.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.